He's our voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600 AM and 107.3 FM.
Good morning, Dr. Brown. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Melissa?
I'm all right. Just got a text from the husband. He says that Chase still has the horrible cough. You know, I went to go take him to his pediatrician earlier this week, and it's interesting. This is actually, launching into our latest RSV. You know, it's nice we're off of COVID a little bit, right? I mean, we're talking RSV a lot more lately.
Right.
So we're shifting the conversation a little bit, not much, but a little bit. So it's interesting. I took him to his doctor on Tuesday. I'm like, I think he's got RSV. He's got this horrible cough for over a week now. And he, he's a mess. And so, okay, all right. So he gets checked. His lungs are fine. No fluid, no congestion. His ears are fine. No ear, nothing. They're like, we don't see anything. So he's got a cough. Okay, all right, he's got a cough. Fine. But it's interesting because so we left feeling really encouraged. And now 2 days later, he is worse than he was, if you can believe that. And I'm wondering, is RSV like COVID where it can literally like get better and then get worse? Like, can you, I don't want to say reinfect yourself, but can you go through like ebbs and flows with RSV? This is new to me, even though RSV is not new. I've never had a kid with RSV before.
Yeah, so RSV, you can get reinfected with RSV. So you can get you could get reinfected. It would be very unusual to, we would use that term auto-infect, which is that you end up having the infection and then you give it back to yourself.
Like two kids in his class have tested positive this week for RSV. So he could have gotten over it and then gotten it again potentially from somebody in his class?
Potential, but it would be very, very low.
Okay.
Very unlikely.
Okay. So maybe he was just having a good day. Like, because, I mean, his pediatrician literally thought we were crazy. They're like, he's got a cough. This isn't RSV. But, like, my son this is the sickest I have seen my son in the 4 years I've had him.
Sure.
I've never seen him this sick. And I just can't imagine it's not RSV. But, I mean, it could be one of the...
Yeah. It could be any one of the respiratory viruses that are out there. Yeah, we've been seeing quite a few of non-RSV, non-COVID, non-flus. People have been getting pretty sick. Relatively healthy sick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's really, I mean, even some if, they need some supplemental oxygen, even coming to the hospital, we're not really doing all that much, just, helping them with symptomatic treatment.
So even if
we're helping them, I don't want to say we're not helping them.
No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? We're not giving them any antivirals. We're not giving any antibiotics. What we're doing is we're just trying to keep their airways open and, make sure they have the supplemental oxygen they need.
It's interesting because it's kind of like your body is healing itself. I've noticed that.
Correct.
Like you can't take anything for it. It's horrible.
That's exactly right. And a lot of viruses, they start off with, something aggressive. They activate they get in, they cause a problem, and then they sort of disappear, and then they just leave a mess behind.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening. Because I feel like this fall has been wicked. And it's not just my kid. I mean, I know I'm talking a lot about my kid, but I don't like to call other people out. I mean, almost every other parent who I know at Chase's school, a lot of his friends, a lot of my friends who have kids in other states, they're all going through this, just an awful fall season, which you and I have been talking about. But I mean,
exactly.
It's just horrible for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even the adults, really. It's the kids.
Yeah, and this is sort of a, if you want to call it a rebound effect, this is a rebound effect of sort of not socializing or socializing with masks. As you and I have talked about this, we've sort of expected to see I said it's going to be a rough fall.
It's a bad fall. It's bad.
It's bad
really,
virus.
Really, really bad.
Not just COVID, but it's everything else.
Yeah.
Because it's a catch up. Everyone has to get the viruses that have been occurring for the last 2 years now. So, and then remember, I think you also forget, in the last couple of years have been pretty mild. People haven't really had any colds in years. And now we're getting them. Is this sort of an exacerbation? Like, why do I have a cold? I mean, I've talked to people in the past, and they think about it. Like, yeah, I used to, in the fall, I used to have a cold the entire fall. People like not having these viruses.
Yeah,
but
it's
they are important for children to become adults in a socialized civilization.
Yeah. I know. I think about you in the back of my head when I'm like, oh my gosh, this is just brutal to watch my kid. I mean, to the point that you're as a parent, and of course this is, you know, I'm sure every parent is like, yeah, Melissa, that's what we all feel. But you're so heartbroken to watch that you can't do anything for them, really. There's nothing to do for them. They just have to kind of wait it out and feel through it. And I mean, finally to the point last night that my son is like, Mom, I'm just so sick of feeling this way. I feel like I'm never going to get better. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go get a Christmas tree. So I took him out to a Christmas tree shop. I mean, Dr. Brown, I must have looked like the biggest lunatic in Milford last night. I take him out at 6:30 at night to go get a Christmas tree because I just wanted my kid to smile because I haven't seen that in like 3 weeks now. But you're heartbroken for them. You're like, how do I make you better? I don't know how to do it. It's horrible. I've never seen him this sick. It's awful. Make it better.
I was going to say.
Make it better, Dr. Brown. Fix it.
I'm giving you non-medical advice. He will improve.
Okay. I know. Well, that's – so it's interesting, Dr. Brown, because I noticed that Pfizer is like another step closer to having RSV vaccines potentially get
Correct.
FDA approval. So I have a couple thoughts on this. The first one is – and you and I had sort of discussed this with how quickly we saw the COVID vaccine turn around. Are we going to start seeing vaccines for viruses we've had for a very long time? Are we going to start seeing vaccines get pumped out at a quicker rate? Because like you've said, RSV has been here for a long time. I never got a shot for RSV.
Right.
I've never known of anyone getting an RSV vaccine, but it was something we had as kids. So like, wow, all of a sudden we're going to have an RSV vaccine as early as next fall. Like, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very interesting. And you know, there's some pieces that are really related to the economics of it. RSV was an issue, but really you didn't hear much about it. I mean, you heard a little here and there, but you really didn't hear that much about it until now, the rebound. So now we're hearing about it. I would say, and I think this is important for everybody to know, there is a lot of vaccines that are out there that are in the level where they just need a few more months. let's try to put it that way, probably a little bit more than that, where they can be put out. So the answer is that we have a lot of vaccines that have been developed, are available, or not available, are developed and are sort of sitting in the lab. It's relatively straightforward technology that's being used. So to get it out and then test it. But the economics of it didn't make a lot of sense to put an RSV vaccine in with sort of the minimal amount. Again, there's the whole economics. I don't want to get too much into that. But
right, sure.
You get that aspect. But I will tell you that maybe 5 years ago, I was at a conference up in Cambridge, and you know, a lot of new startup companies were there. And one of the things they were talking about is you know, this new technology, this new mRNA, not new technology, but this mRNA, they've been able to finally manufacture through mRNA technology. And, you know, that was Moderna. And they basically said that, you know, if there was a smallpox outbreak, we would have a vaccine in 6 months.
Interesting.
And they said pretty much anything that's there that we know the genome. And remember, there's a lot of scientists that have done a lot of work in virology. So, and since they're relatively small organisms, and the technology to determine their genetic code has been out for a long time. I mean, for God's sakes, we know our genetic code.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
now,
so true.
Now we can send it away and figure out where our ancestors, right? Think about it, these are like a minuscule compared to ours, and we already know what the genome is, and we know what they do. By knowing those two things, we can, I'm going to say easily, it's not easily, but easily be able to when we need to, kind of pull it out and
right.
say, okay, this is the vaccine that we've developed.
More easily than just making it from scratch, essentially, because
exactly.
I think that's
more
what
easily,
people don't realize.
Yeah. Yeah. More easily than 20 years ago.
Yeah, no question. So we're chatting this morning with Dr. Brown of Griffin Hospital, and we're talking about RSV vaccines. And one of the top stories this week was that RSV vaccines could be coming out in a matter of months. Really, by next fall, they should be rolling out. So how does that work, Dr. Brown? So, like, if they have these RSV vaccines, would it really make a difference for little kids now, or is this really for women who are about to have children? Like, who would get these vaccines?
It's looking like it's for both.
Oh, okay.
So, right now, I think we need to flush through a little bit of the data. I think the top headline was giving the vaccine to pregnant females, And then, you know, in their last trimester, and then they were showing significant decline in the likelihood of getting RSV or severe RSV in their newborns. As you probably know, when a child is born, they really don't have much of an immune system, and they definitely don't have very many antibodies. The only ones that they really have is from the mother. So the mother gives them the antibody. So if a mother has antibodies, they can transmit it to the baby for a period of time. And again, we'll have to see how long this will last with RSV, and if a child will have to then get the vaccine themselves, you know, afterwards, after their immune system matures in the next few weeks after birth.
Wow. Okay. And do you think it will be ready by next fall? And if that's the case, do people start getting it like they do the flu, like around August, September, or when would they get this? Or does it matter what time of year they get it?
So I imagine it's going to be I'm not sure exactly how they're going to make the recommendations. It looks like they're at least putting in for emergency authorization within, I'm seeing this year.
I'm seeing in like the next couple of months. Right. Me too. That's what I'm seeing.
So I'm curious to see how that's actually going to go. And then the next piece is that, you know, it is a vaccine during pregnancy. And, you know, again, I, you know, it's very safe, but again, we know that that's an area that women can be very sensitive about. So, you know, adoption of getting the vaccine during pregnancy will be interesting to see. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see when we give it. The virus itself really has a tendency to occur around this time.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is around the fall. So will the recommendation be, if you are, you know, in your trimester and delivering within the fall, you know, is it going to be recommended to get the vaccine, or is it going to be effective enough that you just get it, you know, in your trimester, in your last trimester?
And really quick, because you had said that this would be for an emergency authorization, which I know became very controversial during the COVID times. Mm-hmm. With that, is that because we just don't have enough people who have tried the vaccine? Because you were saying that some of these vaccines have been sitting for a long time. It just didn't make economic sense to invest in them.
Yeah, and that's sort of where it is. And if you remember, I know there's a lot of controversy about the EUA, but with an EUA, it just decreases, as far as I'm concerned, from a clinical standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, it really just cuts some of the red tape in the bureaucracy. So the duration of time for things to get reviewed decreases, and that's what it is. So I don't think that there's going to be any reduction in the actual research that's being done with this. And as I said, I mean, there's the animal models are definitely there. The human models are there. Now it's just about sort of, you know, getting those key points that would be needed before you go to the FDA.
Okay. Well, Dr. Brown, certainly this is just in the beginning phases of seeing it potentially get FDA approval, and we certainly will see what comes of it. But always appreciate getting your expertise, and certainly as we see more and more, I mean, RSV cases are just taking over the state. They're taking over the country. That's really like the top health story. It's crazy.
I think that's the big issue is that, you know, it's overwhelming the hospitals, as we talked about last week. The hospitals are getting overwhelmed because they're not used to, I guess this is a great thing. We're not used to having children sick.
True. So, right. Well, it's almost like they didn't get sick for 2 years. It was really the adults. Like with COVID, it was, even when you did see kids, it was kind of like, oh, yikes, that person has asthma, or yikes, this person has an underlying condition. That's why they're so sick with COVID. But we really didn't see kids do anything. I mean, most of them were like asymptomatic.
Right.
So, it's like the roles are reversed. I mean, adults, sure. I'm seeing like the post-nasal drip and I'm feeling sluggish. But I mean, it's the kids who are sick right now. They're really sick.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh. Not fun. All right, Dr. Brown, well, I thank you so much. Always love having you here. And if, you know, if by some chance you come up with some other recommendation besides going Christmas shopping at 6:30 at night on a weekday, you let me know if you have any other suggestions for how to make a 4-year-old smile when they are battling RSV like symptoms. You just let me know.
Fair enough. That might be a little bit out of my realm, but
well,
I'll Google
it. Your honesty. Yeah, let me know. You know, if you guys have one of those like doctors conferences, I don't know what you guys do at the hospital, but if you guys come up with anything, just let me know. Just text
fair
me.
Enough.
Send me a text.
We'll do, Melissa.
Cool. Appreciate you, Dr. Brown. Griffin Health. Always appreciate him here and in my personal life here on WICC.